Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
You're listening to the Social Network Show. And once again, Rob Walsh is with us to share with you more about whether podcasting is for you. Maybe you currently blog and wonder about adding an audio dimension to your communication with the great beyond, that global village at our fingertips. Rob Walsh is Vice President of Podcaster Relations with Libsyn Liberated Syndication. And he has consulted with, for example, New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson and Senator John Edwards and many others on podcasting. He has a monthly column for Blogger and Podcaster Magazine, as well as App Developer Magazine, and organizes the Kansas City Podcaster Meetup. Welcome, Rob. We're delighted to tap into your expertise once again.
Well, thank you for having me back.
Rob, thank you so much. Your information is just the best, I think.
So we are so fascinated, Rob, with the idea of growing the audience. But first of all, people are listening to us. We would love to have more people listen to us. But what is involved in actually figuring out who it is that's listening to you and what how to get the engagement, which I assume would be necessary to find that out. But first of all, how do you know who's listening already?
Well, one of the things, a couple of things you can find out is where are they listening to you? I mean, so part of what you can get from the statistics is geographically, where are they listening? How many people are listening in California overall? How many people are listening in the LA area? How many are listening in the Kansas City area? So you can find out based on, you know, the DMAs in the U.S., by state, by country, how many people are listening. My son, my 5.5-year-old son, just started podcasting. and one of the things he does now when he gets home is he asks me what's a new country that he's getting a listener from. So, you know, he's got 18, I think it's 18, he's up to 18 different countries where people are listening to his show. And he just thinks that's great. And it's, he's learning where these countries are in the world because we show him on a globe where each one of them are.
That's cool.
You know, as a podcaster too, it's really cool when you see that, hey, someone from the Isle of Man is listening to your show or someone from Albania is listening to your show. You're like, wow, this is really interesting. Mm-hmm. So you can get that information. The other bit of information you can get is how are they listening? Are they listening from the podcast app, which is Apple Core Media in your stats? Are they listening from Stitcher iOS or Stitcher Android? Are they listening through iTunes or are they coming through Zune or Instacast or Podkicker or you know, what is it? What are they using to get your show? So that's always important. One, it tells you where they are. And two, more importantly, it tells you where they're not downloading your show because if you're getting no downloads from Stitcher, something's wrong at Stitcher. If you're getting no downloads from Instacast, you're going to need to check to see is your show in there. Is your show not in Podkicker? So that tells you quite a bit of where you need to make sure your show is.
And as far as what... Are there any demographics that are available as to, you know, are these men or women? Are they, you know, what kind of groups do they belong to? That sort of thing.
Unfortunately, none of that information is available automatically for podcasts. So the only way for you to get that is to put a survey out. So if you're hosting with Libsyn, you already have a survey created for your show. It's survey.libsyn.com/yourshowslug. is already set up, and everyone that has an account with Libsyn already has their survey already pre-created, and then you can just promote that survey to your listeners, and you know, I do that. If you were to go to survey.libsyn.com/TII, that's the survey for my podcast Today in iOS, And that will, we have some basic questions there for your listeners, and it's a very short survey. You know, what's the what's your gender? What's your age? What's your marital status? Your authenticity, your education, and your household income, and then optionally, if you want to put your email address in, and that's it. That's the whole survey. People hit complete survey, and that gives the information about your audience. And if you plan to do advertising on your show, it's really important that you have that information filled out. You have 250 replies back from your audience, and then we take that information and present your show's demographics to advertisers that look based on demographics. But,
okay. Now, is it possible to tweak that survey? Can we eliminate questions? Can we add anything?
Those are the ones that our advertisers, that because we also do advertising, those are what they wanted. So that's the survey.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's it. It is customized for your show from the fact that your artwork for your show will show up and the description of your show. But yeah, those are the questions when we sat down and went with the advertising agencies. They said this is the minimum information they needed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and at what point will they get involved, Rob? I mean, in other words, how many listeners downloads do you need before advertisers from, say, your side of the fence would be involved or interested
in
us?
Advertisers that we're working with, what they're looking for normally is 5,000 U.S. downloads. Or 5,000 global, if it happens to be a global advertiser. But 5,000 U.S. is what I usually tell people to shoot for per episode.
Okay.
And that's a per-episode basis. Some advertisers will purchase on a monthly buy in aggregate of all your shows, and in that case, 10,000 is the minimum, is a absolute minimum, and 20,000 is more typical what we look for there for U.S. downloads again.
And that site, the site that you said that the survey is on, like, say, the Social Network Show, for example, what would that address be again, just for anyone who might?
It would be survey.libsyn.com/, and then what your show slug is for your show.
Okay. We'll look into that, and our listeners can count on hearing about a survey going out. Yep. And, you know, I think it's a good thing that that information is not automatically gathered. I don't know how it would be done, but that's one of the big issues with the online communication is the data aggregation, the data collection, and of course it's usually by advertisers or marketers and so forth, commercial interests, unless it's the NSA, of course. But the whole That's a concern to me, so I'm glad that we are not gathering. We can assure our listeners we're not gathering information from them, unbeknownst to them.
This is always optional information from your audience. It's opt-in information. Now,
sure.
Obviously, their IP address, the location of where they're coming from, that's not opt-in. That's gathered automatically by our system, but it's not going to trace them back to the individual user. We're not going to know that, you know, Joe Smith in Mount Vernon, Ohio, is listening to your show. We'll know somebody in Mount Vernon, you know, or is listening, but we're not going to know who it is.
This is interesting, isn't it? I mean, it really gives us the depth, doesn't it, in what to do with our show and what we're doing and we're not doing right. I mean, and that's why Rob from Libsyn and Fab Universal is so important, and we're really grateful to do the Rob series here on the Social Network Show with Dr. J and I. Thank you very much.
I had no idea how much information and how much help is available from Libsyn.
Right, and I just want to announce one other thing, and with Rob on the air too with us, is that we have announced that we're adding 50 shows by and for women and girls on the Social Network station. So we're growing our station, which is where the Social Network Show is now, which is what you're listening to now, and Libsyn.com. Somebody please spell Libsyn. It's a little phonetically.
Jane, Libsyn.
Okay, and then 411, Rob's site. Can you come up? Rob, will you tell us wherever you want people to go to listen or talk or even email you?
To email me... you can always email me, Rob, as in R-O-B, at Libsyn, LIBSYN.com. Okay. And then you can also go to our site, Libsyn.com, or you can go to blog.libsyn.com.
Okay.
Or the feed.libsyn.com. That's our podcast at Libsyn. And then my own personal website for podcasting information is podcast411.com.
And the most amazing site I've ever seen about podcasting, Jane was talking about it earlier. It's just like, man, and you really do love this, don't you? Podcasting per se, do you really love it?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's something, if you're doing, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's something I've been doing since 2004, and, you know, it's been my full-time job since April 1st, 2005. I quit a job where I was VP of Sales and Marketing for an electronics manufacturer, and I left that career and to go into podcasting. I just fell in love with it, and it was something I wanted to do, and I've been doing full time now, basically for almost 9 straight years.
Wow! And it's still got the glitter, huh? For you, it's just, or more than ever, is it because it's growing?
It's always had it for me. You know, I think podcasting has always been growing. It never stopped growing. I know that it got out of the limelight from the press for a while, but now it's back. I think a lot of the reason it's back is because of the just the takeoff of smartphone adoption, and because of that, so many more people are starting to listen to podcasts because it's easier to listen to podcasts now.
Okay, thank you.
I want to ask you a question because I know you have an MBA. You got into, you know, the business aspect of things, but before that, you had a bachelor's in engineering, and I wondered what was that. Computer or electronic or, you know, what
electrical engineering. Yeah. So Can't spell geek without double E. yeah. So I've got my engineering degree from the University of Dayton, and go Flyers. And then I got my MBA from the University of Connecticut, UConn. So I'm a Flyer and a Husky. So hopefully with some fingers crossed and some knocking on wood, both of those teams will be in the NCAA tournament come next week and a half.
I'm knocking on metal, too, and that's going to work. Okay, look, I can't shake this. I tried to. Your 5.5-year-old son is podcasting. Okay, can we do a shout-out on his podcast? I mean, you know, I want to listen. So if that's if I'm invited, I got to know, man. I got to hear a 5.5-year-old do a podcast.
It's called Porter's Podcast, P-O-R-T-E-R-S, Porter's Podcast, okay. And you just search it in iTunes, you'll find it there. It's in Stitcher, it's in most of the other places. It's actually featured this week in iTunes on the new and noteworthy section.
That's
good.
Great.
Well, I love it when parents are encouraging their kids to do what they do, you know, give them a leg up, and instead of, oh gosh, do anything but what I do.
I want to be fair here. Yeah. My son came to me, and he said, I want to be a podcaster.
Aww.
I did not so push him. I have an older son who's 7 who I had been saying, hey, Henry, why don't you podcast? Why don't you podcast? And he's like, no. But my younger son came to me a couple weeks ago, and he said, I want to be a podcaster. And I said, really? And he said, yes. And I was like, okay. And I did with him what I would do with a client. I sat him down, and I said, let's talk about what you want to podcast about. Uh-huh. And what's the format of your show? And his thing was he wanted to answer people's questions.
Well, let's get into that more in the next segment, because I'd love hear. We want to be a fly on the wall how you introduced your son to it.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Welcome back to the Social Network Show, and we're talking with Rob Walsh from Libsyn.com. And you just told us about how to find our survey. So anyone listening can do the survey, survey.libsyn.com/thesocialnetworkshow. Easy enough. So now let's get back to Porter, the 5.5-year-old. And kudos and hellos to the 7-year-old. And I'm sure he'll enjoy whatever he does. But we want to hear what about the podcaster. So you sat him down and you said, "What do you want to podcast about?"
And his answer was he just wanted to answer questions from people, because that's one of the things I do on my show today in iOS, and he knows that I answer questions from people. So he thought that would be fun, just to answer any questions from anyone. And that's what he's doing. People are calling in and they're asking him questions. You know, I did a quick shout out on Twitter and Facebook and also on my podcast, saying, "Hey, my son wants to do a podcast. He wants to answer questions. Call him with some questions." And we had some people do that. And this was like on a Sunday when he said he wanted a podcast. And on Monday, I put together everything for him for the show and figured, you know, maybe he won't do it or whatever. And I did the shout out on Monday. And Tuesday, we got some questions. And he came home. I said, "You know, Porter, we'll see what you know want to do Tuesday when you get home from school." He ran in the door Tuesday, ran right into my room, office, jumped on my lap, said, "Okay, I want a podcast."
Oh, that's great. Okay, and I'm going to be calling in. By the way, is it appropriate to give the number now? Or
You can. The number I tell people to call is it's 206 Mom Help. 206 Mom Help.
Okay.
You'll hear me there, because that's the number I use for Podcast 411. So just call that one and just say, "Hey, Porter." But 206 Mom Help or 206-666-4357.
And when does it run? When does it run?
He does. We're doing it weekly right now, so we're doing each weekend. We're doing it where I can record with him on usually Saturday or Sunday.
So are the calls? Is this live calls, or you call 206 Mom Help and leave a question on the recorder?
Leave a question. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. That makes sense.
So far he's helped people. Someone's asked about his golf game, how to help their golf game. People asked what songs to like. People have asked what can a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old do for fun. It's been a wide thing. What are some of his favorite apps? What was the fastest land dinosaur? So it can be anything. Have fun. The show is meant to have fun. If it's a scientific question, we'll research it together, me and him, and then he will read the answer.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. How much research does, I would imagine it can get into as much as you want, depending on what questions you select.
I mean, one of the best ones was someone asked, what can a boy do to let the girl know that he likes them in school? I said, "Okay, here you go." And I just hit record and let him ramble. And his answer was, "Well, you know, you can tell them that you were on the moon and you know, try to impress them." And you know, I'm just like, okay, funny stuff the kids will say. And then finally at the end he goes, "And if that doesn't work, you know what, just hang out with boys."
That's great. Now, do we have, I'm guessing here, do we have a Twitter handle on Porter or Henry?
You know, I don't have Twitter for them, but he does have a Tumblr page. Okay. His Tumblr page, I think it's porterspodcast.tumblr.com.
I think it's the... Oh, this is great. We'll probably learn more from him. No,
just kidding. Yeah, porterspodcast.tumblr.com is the website I set up.
Oh, God, this is great. I can't wait to... He's coming on the show. You got to tell him he's got big fans here. You know what I mean?
He's... he's very excited by the fact that, you know, he's got people all around the world now starting to listen to him. And he does a shout-out now at the beginning of each episode. He'll pick a country and and he learns how to say thank you in that language for that country.
No, really?
Now, that's something we should do.
Yeah, he's ahead of me. I mean, I don't know how to say in Japanese thank you to... Holy, I'm going to be listening. I'm a big fan. I'm a fan. I haven't even heard the show yet. That's great,
but
man.
It's a fun thing for, you know, kids do. And it, so it doesn't just have to be adults that are podcasting. He's become a celebrity, a little celebrity in his kindergarten with his teachers.
Oh,
the principal even called in with a question. it's just fun.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Okay, so audience building. Let's get in a little bit on that.
Yeah, how do you do that, man?
Audience building.
Yeah.
One of the things I really recommend for audience building, there's two ways to grow your audience. So one is engage your audience. Bring them in to be part of your show. Having a K7.net number like my son has, having a phone number where people can call into, and having your email address where people can record and message or send an email to. So, you know, I say two of the most important tools in your toolkit as a podcaster is having a K7. That's the letter K, the number 7.net phone number, and having a Gmail account, and making sure you have those, you know, for your show and promote them heavily. You know, letting your audience know that they can send you feedback and that you'll take that feedback and put it in the show is a huge way to build your audience. Because what happens is each one of your audience members that gets on your show, they're going to promote your show.
Mm-hmm.
And getting your audience to promote your show is the most important thing you can do, and getting them engaged is the best way to get them to promote your show. We mentioned the smartphone apps earlier. Smartphone apps are a great way to get feedback from your audience. I have received over 2,000 emails and over 2,000 voicemail messages directly from the smartphone app from my Today in iOS podcast. Just people have the app open, they're listening to your show, and they're able to tap a button and email you, tap a button and call you. That's huge, because the best time to get feedback from your audience is when they think about giving you feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make them jump through hoops and they have to remember to do it later, they'll forget. But if they can do it and know they can do it when they're listening, as they're listening.
And what is this
K7?
Thanks, man. Thank you so much. What is this K7.net? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. K7.net, it's a free service.
Mm-hmm.
Free, I like free. Free is good. And you just go there and you sign up and you get a phone number. Now, the important thing to remember is you have to get at least one phone call on that phone number every 30 days, or it will go away into the ether. But that number, the 206 number I gave earlier, 666-4357, I registered that number in 2004. I've had that number since 2004. And when people call, it just automatically saves the voicemail message and emails it to you, so it just shows up in your email. And then I just take that voicemail message and I save it to a folder, and then I bring it into my show for my next episode.
Okay, it's wonderful,
very,
wonderful tool.
Very simple.
And the part about Gmail, I mean, I have Gmail, but can you talk a little bit about the logistics of how easy that is?
Well, yeah, getting a Gmail account, you know, obviously it's cheap, it's free. So that's nice. You get a lot of storage, which is important. The reason I recommend the Gmail account is you get a lot of storage, and if people are going to be emailing you voicemail messages, those can take up storage. Those can be 3, 4, 5 meg each, and if your show gets real popular, you can find out that, you know, you could quickly go through your email storage at most email places.
Okay.
So having the Gmail is nice. And not only that, you can get a customized Gmail, you know, so it can be, you know, the social network show at gmail.com. You know, it's just something that is branded. You want to make your email branded to your show.
Okay.
And that just is an easy way. And people remember gmail.com, so all they have to do is remember what your first part of the branding was. You know, so like I have Gmail accounts for all my shows. I have podcast411 at gmail.com. I've got I've got Today in iOS at gmail.com. Today, and originally the show was Today in iPhone at gmail.com. So, you know, I have that. So each one of my shows, I set up that. I haven't actually set up Gmail for Porter's podcast yet, so I probably need to do that for him.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, so last, but is there any other number two thing about audience building that, or anything else you want to add?
Absolutely. Okay. Interview influential bloggers in your niche. When you start out, we talked earlier about podcasting and said, you know, there's a 900-to-1 ratio. That means most bloggers aren't podcasting. So they're more than willing to come on your show because they're not looking at you as competition. And if you do interview a blogger, here's what I always recommend.
Okay.
Edit the interview. Edit out the ums, the uhs, and the you knows. Because if it's a blogger who's not used to being interviewed, and he's stammering, and he's saying, you know, and he does, and he goes back and listens to the interview you did with him, and he thinks he sounds like an idiot. He sounds, you know, not intelligent. Guess what? He's not going to promote that interview.
Okay.
But if he listens to it and he thinks he sounds brilliant, not only is he going to promote it, he's going to put a badge on his website for you. You know, and he's going to, you know, he's going to promote it loud and clear and put a link up, and he's going to want to let people know, hey, I was interviewed here on the show and I sound good.
Nice, right. Sure.
Nice. Are there any bloggers out there? I mean, you don't have to tell us on the air, but I mean, is there anybody that you can get to that niche? I know sometimes that's just a feat, just finding the bloggers. I mean, is there any?
Well, I mean, it depends on the niche that you're podcasting about. So, I mean, what is it, the subject that you're going to podcast about? If you're going to podcast about Tesla automobiles, you're going to be the first. I don't think there's a Tesla automobile podcast. If you're going to be the first person to do a podcast on Tesla, go out and find every blogger that covers Tesla and covers automobiles and get them on your show.
And
you
know,
go get all those bloggers.
How would you find them, though? Oh, excuse me, Jane.
Google. I mean, just Google the subject matter and go to Technorati and just find the blogs that are the top-rated blogs in your community.
Okay.
You know, obviously, if you're a blogger and you're covering it, you should have a pretty good idea of who some of the competition is. Who are some of the more influential blogs in your namespace? But if not, you know, spend some time, figure that out, and then reach out to them and just say, hey, I'm doing this podcast. I really like, I think you're brilliant. I love your writing. I think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, and I need to have you on my show. Are you available? When are you available?
Nice. Excellent.
And stroke their ego, and they'll come on. It's really easy. If you're doing celebrities, you know, if you want to have celebrity guests on your show.
Yeah.
Very easy to get celebrities.
How?
People think it's hard.
How do you do?
It's so easy to get a celebrity on your show. You go to sign up to IMDb Pro.
IMDb Pro.
IMDb Pro.
Mm-hmm.
You get the IMDb Pro for 1 month. You figure out all the celebrities you want to get. You go through IMDb Pro. You find out who all their PR press people are. You get their contact information. And then you find out which ones of them are about to have a new movie or a new DVD or a new television show come out.
Wow.
Because when they're about to have a new TV, movie, or television show, they have to do a certain amount of publicity per their agreements. And you just go and say, hey, I do a podcast, internet show on this subject matter. I have a huge audience. Flub your numbers. They can't check. Doesn't matter. And just say your audience is huge and you're the top-ranked show in your category and you would like to have them on your show. And if you will be surprised that they will say, sure, we'll come on.
Wow.
Amazing. Don't tell them your numbers. Don't say, hey, this is my first episode and I have no listeners.
No, for God's sake, we won't do that.
For years.
Okay, man, thank you so much. This has been, God, you're amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on again, Rob. And we look forward to another session with you sometime soon. And in the meantime, we have lots of homework to do.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both again for having me on.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.